hope you've all got good singing voices on you tonight. Well, don't even worry about that. Good praising voices, the Bible says. It doesn't say you have to make a tune full song. It says you need to make a song. So, right, we're going to pray, and then we're going to sing, or we're going to try and sing lots of songs. So I hope you're all ready and raring to go. And after that, there's plenty of food. Let's all close our eyes and bow our heads. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this evening. Thank you, Lord, for life and health and strength. And for this occasion, Lord, this time out from the world, we can just take and spend with you. Please bless it, Lord. Please use it. Most importantly, Lord, we pray for your will to be done. We love you and thank you. Amen. Right. This old Christmassy song, we've been practicing this for the past month or two. So if you want to take the wee black books that we have, should just be in front of you. And go to hymn number. Let me see, where are we? Yeah, go to number 73. Sorry, I'm looking at the wrong numbers. 73 in the wee black hymn books, if you'd like to take and turn there. Hymn number 73. It's a long time ago in Bethlehem. I don't know if I'd be right in saying, Norman or Christine, but do you ever remember a group called Boney M?
Yes.
Did they sing that?
I'm not sure, but,
I wasn't a big pop. My uncle, he had the album, and I used to listen to it at my granny's in Belfast, so it's a wee bit of history. Anyway, number 73, if you're able, we'll stand as we sing. Long time ago, Bethlehem. That's not it. Thank you. much. But don't put those away. We're still, well, I hope this will be the sort of first dry run for Christmas, so to speak. But I would like for us to, if I can just find it here. Where's Hark the Herald Angels sing? Hymn number 429 in the big book system. 429. Oh, there it is. I have it marked. That's why I couldn't see the page. 429. Technically, this would be the first of the things that happened in chronological order. It would have been the shepherds listening to the angels sing. So 429. We'll just remain seated as we sing. Bring me a little bit of a Bible reading from Luke chapter 2. This is Luke chapter 3. This is a wee portion of scriptures that you'll find gets read an awful, awful lot around this time of year. You're welcome to look it up in the Bibles, or you're welcome just to listen. I'm just going to read from verse number 1, where are we? To verse number 20. Verse number 1 to verse number 20. This is not a story in the Bible, this is an historical account of the birth of Jesus Christ. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. All went to be taxed, every one into his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were, in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherd. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Amen. Thank you very much. That's the account of the birth of Jesus Christ, foretold for thousands of years, and it happened just over 2,000 years ago. Amen. I'm not going to do announcements because nobody's really interested in what's going on around the church at the moment. I think everything is just ground to a halt. Thankfully, we can actually take a little bit of a break. But I just hid that piece of paper, would you believe? There it is. And Monica is going to come up and play a little solo on her flute. So, Mrs. Bradfield, you can just come right up.
It's 430 in the book if you want to sing along while shepherds watch their flock and the 430.
That's not that. What's the 102? No, that won't sail
the problem.
Thank you.
chance to rest their vocal cords. And if they'd like to take the big books again and turn to 431. We'll sing silently. 431. Some old favorites that I remember from singing as a child. I hope and pray they will bring back old memories. One that may not be quite so common or well known, but 426 in the big books. 426, I heard the bells on Christmas Day, and if you're fit, we'll stand as we sing. Probably a good idea to stand up and sit down a few times, I'll get the blood pumping and stand out and get the blood pumping and give you a bit of an appetite for supper.
I learned the bells on Christmas Day. They all were merry.
rest your vocal cords now for a little bit. Thank you for joining us in those songs. Most times whenever ministers come to bring a Christian message, especially at Christmas time, there'll be shepherds or there'll be wise men. You can be sure of that. You put your hand in your heart, go down to the betting shop if you were a betting person, and you can put money on it that those verses will be one of the verses that they are going to talk about, but not this evening. I remember a little verse in the Bible whenever Jesus and his 12 disciples and some of his 70 followers, all the people that loved him, they were running after a lot of people. And the Bible records that they were so busy that they didn't even have time to sit down and eat. Now, I know from looking around here that none of us suffer from not being able to eat, and I pray that you're always able to enjoy your food. And the Lord said to his disciples, come apart into a desert place with me, in brackets, and rest a while. And that's what I see this evening as. I know once you get up out of this building and pass this frosty little road and get out onto the dual carriageway, hand and heart, up until 9 o'clock there'll be cars zipping up and down. There may be not as many as usual because of the bad weather, but people are going crazy. People will be running to shops and running home and wrapping what they bought in the shops and putting it under a tree or behind a cupboard. In fact, that could nearly have been an Olympic sport whenever I was little. Because whenever Mum and Dad went out of the house, we would search under beds and in cupboards and up in the attic to see what they'd got for us at Christmas. But that's what people are doing. And once you get to work or even school, you'll be having Christmas parties. There'll be Christmas dances, there'll be a Christmas social, Christmas carol services. I appreciate everybody that lent their voices this evening. It will be like non-stop. Whenever Monica and I were talking about a fortnight ago, it felt like Christmas was so far away that we had all the time in the world to organise everything. Then somebody said, we have to go and visit Dad and see the family. So that's one weekend gone. And then with a good friend invite us up to visit with them and to meet the folks in their church. That's another weekend gone. That only leaves one weekend free before the weekend before Christmas. And just like that, the days are gone, all the preparations. Monica has been running mad. She always does. She puts me to shame many, many times, even organising this, and as well as that, other Christmas preparations, food mostly. And so, like the Lord said to his followers, take this as a time to take a breath. Take this as a time to take a breath, just to stop for a minute or two. Because phones will be clamoring for your attention. I hope you've got them switched off or on silent. I hope they're not buzzing in your pocket and you're grinding your teeth thinking, oh, if he had only stopped talking and we could sing the last song, I could keep up to date with my latest Facebook post, or does that make me old? Twitter, WhatsApp, Snapchat, Instagram, whatever post it is. This is a time whenever you don't have to think about those things. One year ago, I would have said, the only thing you really have to think about or that will capture attention is the word of the Lord up on the walls, but that's not here anymore. And Norman threatened to kill me if I hammered any nails into his nice new walls. He didn't say anything. But it's time to take a moment. A lot of times I hear of parents say about their children, that children are so occupied with activities that they don't know how to occupy themselves. Don't know how to use their imaginations. They don't know how to be self-starters because they always have things set in front of them. And it's good to be able to do those things. I used to be sent to the piano and hated it, every single lesson and every single practice. I hated it until the first time I came to Bethel and said, I could play the keyboard. I thought I could play the keyboard. I had a lot of practice and a lot of help from technology, the story of my life, and I was able to play the keyboard again. It's handy to be able to do those things. But you have to be able to think and think ahead. All the things that we are away from right now. We're away from our technology, technically. We're away from our homes. Some cases we're away from our family. This may be the first time, at least today, that you have had 5 minutes where you're not actually running here or there. It's one of the reasons the Lord said to take a day in the week and rest. To take a day in the week and recharge yourself spiritually so that the physical part of you doesn't fly apart at the seams. As a preacher once said, come apart into a desert place before you come apart. And many times, it is only when you have nothing to do that you get to think about things that you don't normally think about. Now, we're in church, and so what I'm going to say, you'll be expecting, we're talking about thinking about your souls. Because everybody has one. Even before I got saved, I remember having what they call an out-of-body experience as a child. I remember stepping up, my spirit leaving my body. I remember disappearing into a hole about 20 foot up in the air in the backyard. This was before I knew anything about God, before I knew about Jesus. And I have had a firm belief in a spiritual world ever since. I just didn't know there were two sides to that spiritual world. And we're here to talk, just for a moment, well, I'm here to talk, we're unfortunately here to listen, about Jesus. This Jesus that so many people hate was a man. He lived for about 33 years, and he died on a cross. Now, that bit's normally preached about 3 months ago, 4 months ago, maybe 5 or 6 months ago at Easter, actually. It was a bit further back than I thought there. But he was given to us. He wasn't charged out and he wasn't rented. He was given to us. Because God loves us more than he loves himself, just like any parent loves their children and would quite gladly give their lives for their children. I don't know of any parent that would give their child for somebody else's life. That's how much God loves us. Sent him down here just to prove that all of the things he said in the Bible were absolutely true. That we have souls. That these bodies are going to wear out. They're going to get old. They're going to get tired and they're going to get sore. And I heard a few comments about that earlier on. And I wouldn't have thought 20 years ago I would be making them myself. I would have a lot more if it wasn't for Dr. Shang giving me a lot of help with a lot of aches and pains. And I thank you for it. But these bodies are going to stop someday. But you are going to live forever. And God loves you so much, he gives you full agency in where you choose to go. He gives you the final decision. He wants you in heaven, but he leaves the decision up to you, and he loves you, and he respects you so much that he lets you make up your own mind, and he will honor that for the endless ages of eternity. The main problem with us is we're bad. We're wicked. And you might not think that. I'm going to give you one of my life lessons that I got as I walked around Craigan Heights many years ago giving out leaflets. We were out with, in the middle of the summer, a lot of children out and about, and this little child in nappies. Nappies and a t-shirt and barefoot running down the road. And the language and the anger coming out of that little child were wicked. And we leaned towards selfishness and theft and greed and worse, all of us. You don't have to teach a child to get to keep things for themselves. You have to teach a child to share. You don't have to teach a child to be greedy. You have to teach them to wait their turn. We are wicked. And the Lord God, knowing that, gave us, threw us a bone, a life belt and a rope in the form of his son, Christ Jesus. The wee verses we read in Luke chapter 2 said that this, the angels were up in the sky and were praising, and they said, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth and goodwill towards men. It's not between men, it's from God to men. But there's another little verse, I think it's John 3:36. Last verse in John says, the wrath of God abides on all of those that hate God. And God came to give us his goodwill, and that was in the form of his son, Christ Jesus. Many years ago, goodness, I'm at an age when I can say that now, many years ago, I was sitting in my office in Desmond's with nothing to do. That's always a dangerous place to be. I had time to think about everything that went on in Desmond and think how to make our lives easier. And I thought, you know what? I reckon I could get this printer doing what these big, this 200 pound printer, I could get it to do what these 5,000 pound printers do. And I spent a month doing that. And it made our lives so much easier, and the orders got out the door faster. And if you can cast your mind back about 35 years, your jeans got to Marks and Spencer's a lot quicker, as did your pajamas and your shirts. Do you ever get that opportunity to think about where things are going with your life? Just to stop and to think about where things are going before you actually get to a place that maybe you don't want to be. And then you can take action. And just because you get saved doesn't mean you end up here. You don't end up standing at the front of the church. You don't end up standing at the corner of the street with a megaphone and a box of Bibles. You don't end up in a monastery or something like that. There's many as a person gets saved and goes out and works a job, serves in the army or the security forces, teaches children, maybe is unemployed. It does not make you a full-time Christian worker, but it will make you a full-time Christian. And it's worth thinking about that before you step off into eternity, because one day we all will. And the only difference is that those souls that step off into an eternity without Jesus stand an eternity without Jesus. And those that step off into eternity with Jesus stand an eternity with Jesus. And even better, those that step off into eternity with Jesus get to spend a bit of their lives right here and now with Christ. And it doesn't cost anything. You have two kids. Do you still count as a kid, Anna?
Always.
Until you're out in an apartment of your own paying the bills, you're still a kid. Two young people. How's that? Does that better? Two young people. If your mummy or daddy handed you a £10 note and said, there you go, what would you say? Where's the other 10? No? Would you say, no, I can't possibly take that because I haven't earned it? Would you say, I don't want to take it because I'll have to pay it back? Or perhaps you would say, thank you very much. And your hand would go out and the money would be put into it and your hand would close on it again, and guess what? That would be yours. No charge to you, all of a sudden, you are enriched. And you might even think, well, now I can get X, Y, and Z. And that's a beautiful thing. My dad would tell you at 90, he's still doing that for his children. Never stops, you son. Dr. Shannon, never stops. That's what God did with Christ. He gave us him as a little baby. And it will definitely enrich your life. A lot of people say, but I have to do X, Y, and Z before God would even consider me. God knows exactly what we're like. And he gave us his son anyway. Because he loves us. We belong to him. And someday we will stand in front of him. And I would never want anybody to have to go through that, to stand in front of God without Jesus as their Savior. Because that would be, does anybody here like biology? Any of you guys like biology? I used to find it very, very complicated. It wasn't like mathematics or physics. I couldn't figure it out at all, and there were guts. And I used to cringe every time there was a biology test because I knew I was going to do badly. And he would always start reading the results from the person who got the highest marks and go right the way down to the person who got the lowest marks. And with every one he was reading, I was slipping further and further down my chair. I could only get so far, and then I was looking at the floor hoping that would open up and swallow me up, and it never did. I hated that feeling. Chemistry was the same. That always seemed like magic to me as well. And I wouldn't want anybody to stand in front of God with that hanging about their neck. And that's why I tell folks, God loves you so much. Just wants you in heaven. You don't have to do a single thing except tell him you're sorry for your sins. And ask him to save you and mean it from the bottom of your heart. And that's it. It's that simple. If your mummy or daddy gave you £10 and says, here's this £10. Now for the rest of your life, I want you to make your bed. I want you to do the hoovering. And I want you to wash the dishes. You would say, do you know what? You can keep that £10. Wouldn't you? We never got paid for doing the dishes or anything like that, but I know times have changed a bit. It's not the way God works. That's not the way love works. My God is a God of love, and he gave us his son, Christ Jesus. You don't want to meet him as a God of judgment and righteousness. You want to meet him as a God of love and kindness. That is yet time. You know what's happening in 11 days. In 11 days, children will have gone mad. They will have torn open their gifts. They will be playing with them. They will be socializing on them. They'll be doing who knows what they'll be doing with their gifts. But there will be a trail of open boxes and ripped wrapping paper all over the place, and people will be enjoying their gifts as they take time. Many have forgotten to celebrate. I know this isn't the time that Jesus was born, but this is the time that we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. And that's the way it is to be a Christian. You can celebrate the gift of Jesus Christ, not just once a year, but every day. Even on the bad days. I used to say to folks, even on the worst day of my life, I'm still going to heaven. God still loves me. Jesus Christ is my big brother, and the Holy Spirit is still my helper and guide on my worst day. And on my best day, I get to enjoy it. And I would love that to be for you as well. Absolutely free, absolutely forever, and absolutely for sure. You can never lose it. Has anybody here ever gone through the Christmas presents and knew they opened one and sat it down and it disappeared? And found it in the bin, or maybe never found it at all because it got thrown in. You can never lose what God gives you because he keeps a hold of it. You can do as much with it as you like. or is living with it as you like, but you're not getting to heaven with it. It takes up no space in your life because God keeps in mind. Friends, I hope you do have a good Christmas. I hope you do have a day that you can, I was going to say, for everybody except the mummies, who normally end up doing all the cooking. I hope you can have a day where you can enjoy it. And whenever everything's done, and you have your cup of tea or whatever at the very end of the day, it just seems like there's no problems in the whole world. Everything's right with the world. I hope you can do that. I really do. That's a little taste of what God offers his children any time of the day. Thank you for entertaining me. I tried to make that as short as possible. This is like my Christmas present to everybody, as short service as possible. We're going to sing a wee song. Mrs. Bradfield is going to go in and boil the kettle. And then we'll be done. Just come in, find a place by one of the tables, by the table. Set yourself down with a bit of food. And I can continue on with conversations we started earlier on. Let me just check and see. Pardon? Do you have a suggestion? No, sorry, I thought you were, there we go. We'll sing 423 in the big books. This is Joy to the World. Let's stand as we sing. 423. Please bless us as we have our wee bite of food, and please watch over us, Lord, as we go home, and others too, Lord, that might be negotiating and navigating on treacherous roads. I love you and thank you. Thank you most of all for your Son, Christ Jesus. And we ask all this, of course, for private prayer requests and petitions, in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.